Thursday the 23rd of August, Rabbi Yoel Rabinovich, Pirkei Avos.
So I choose something to speak about from Pirkei Avos, the Perek of the week, rather than from the Sedra. It's only half an hour. I'll try and be mine a little bit into one of the Mishnah. So I actually thought maybe we'll start from the first Mishnah, but I thought that some people might see that as a particular broadcast, so we'll choose the second Mishnah instead. Rav Gamliel ben Moshe Rav Yehuda Anasi Omer Yofa Talmud Torah im Derechet Sheikia Shnei Mishkach HaSobhoi Chol Torah Shein Ima Melacha Soifa Fetela V'Goyer HaSobhoi. No intending to go any further in the Mishnah than that. Rav Gamliel ben Moshe Rav Yehuda Anasi, I have, it's interesting that in the first Mishnah we refer to him as Rebbe and in the second Mishnah as Rav Yehuda Anasi. That's because in the first Mishnah we're talking about what Rebbe is saying, so it's Kilu Bechayov, and then he was known simply as Rebbe, the Rebbe of San Yisrael. Afterwards he's referred to in retrospectively as Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, given his title. So Rebbe Gamliel ben Moshe Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi Yomer Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz Sheikia Shnei Mishkach HaTovim. Talmud Torah with Derech Eretz is Yofa, is pleasant, is nice, is good. Sheikia Shneim, different ways you could translate that, through the work of both of them, as a result of both of them. Mishkach HaTovim, sin is forgotten, gets left behind. There's different ways of understanding this. There's different ways of understanding this mamma of Rabbi Gamliel. You've got the question is, you see, what has the Derech Eretz in here? You've got, for instance, the Chosid Yaivot, who translates Derech Eretz as a Midos Tovos. He says, when you've got Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, you have the two ingredients which are absolutely essential. Talmud Torah is the work on the Bein Adam LeMakom, and the Derech Eretz is the work on the Bein Adam LeChaveroi. He offered Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, Sheyigeh Shnei Mishkach HaTovim. When the person is around this person like that, knows how to relate to the Ribon Shel Olam, knows how to relate to fellow human beings, Mishkach HaTovim. The Reb Chaim Volozhin has an interesting understanding of it. He says, Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. He understands Derech Eretz in the more normal way that we understand it, but he says, Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, that is, when a person is working, it's got to be Osuk B'Minid Alma. But every now and then, you know, we lose concentration sometimes. How often does a person lose concentration when they're sitting and learning and start thinking about various things, or when they're davening? So he says, Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, if when a person works, also he tends to lose concentration, you know, those things which are on his mind, sort of at the back of his mind, come to the front of his mind more, and he's sort of loses himself in trying to work out how to be Miyashev, the Kasher on Tosfos, and then realizes, oh, sorry, I'm meant to be working. The offer Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, then you've got the right idea. You sometimes you may have to do something, you might have to be offered the Midos Alma, but the Talmud Torah shouldn't be shunted to the side totally. But the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, Rabbein Yonah, they learn Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz means there's two aspects here. There's the Limud HaTorah and there's Derech Eretz, which is actually working in some form or the other. The next part, certainly there doesn't seem to be any debate about how to understand it at all. It says V'chol Torah Agav, you know, as Reb Chaim Volozhin, this thought from Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's actually in his sefer about Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. As I think I've actually seen it, that he taught his Talmidim how to, what we call in modern computer language, to multitask, how to do two things at once, how to actually think of two things at once, so that even when they were had to be also for Mili Dalma, or they maybe had to have a discussion with someone, they were working, one part of the mind could actually be consciously thinking in Torah at the same time,
that he could actually split the mind in two and think of two things consciously at the same time.
But it's, I'm pretty sure I saw it written that you have to do this when one's very, very, very young. You can't learn to do this later on in life. It's when the brain is still developing that you can actually train the brain to think of two things at once. So I'm not suggesting that we try doing it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know when you succeed. I'll call upon him. This second mam of Rabban Gamliel, or this Hemshah, which depending on exactly how you learn it. Everyone seems to agree with that. If there's no melacha, that means that there's no, a person has no access, should we put, let's learn it this way, no access to a livelihood. Then there's a danger that the result will be, in the end, there'll be nothing. Because the person becomes desperate, he's got no access to a livelihood at all, he's suddenly finds himself in an impossible position and does the wrong thing. It immediately creates a very, very serious, very important question in our minds. We know that the Pasuk says, V'agisa bo yoimon v'layla, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah yoimon v'layla. Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is unlimited. There might be a minimum, but there's certainly not a maximum. Any time a person has available, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. From the other side, from the other point of view, it says here, a whole Torah sheini mamalacha, sefer Torah garesa, often that person needs to work. Or maybe even yotza Talmud Torah in derech eretz, depending on how you learn the first part. So what happens is, we now have, you've only got one set of time, and you're having to split that, and really, you need all for learning, and yet, you've got to use some of it for other things as well, possibly. How do you miyashiv this? How do you get the two to meet? Really speaking, every person is an individual in this, absolutely. Every person has their own path to follow. What the balance is between Talmud Torah and Malacha is every single person is going to be different in this, and every generation is different. So in reality, a person is going to have to investigate this. I might have to ask a shayla, and I have to understand what the Balei Hashkafa and the Balei Musar of our generation say on this as well, so as to actually be able to relate this to practice. But I thought that it might be useful to look at a little bit, to look at the yesodos on which we have to build our decisions in this matter. And whilst there's certainly no time to go into things at length, and to look at what people like Mr. Meliol say on this in detail, I thought that we'd take a little bit from the Maspik Lo Yivdei Hashem. Maspik Lo Yivdei Hashem isn't such a well-known sefer, but the author of Maspik Lo Yivdei Hashem is very well known. Again, actually, he's probably not so well known. His father's so well known, Rebbe Avraham ben Arambam. We know Rebbe Avraham ben Arambam as the son of the Rambam. But you know, in Shemoneh Esrei we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. Yitzchak was Yitzchak ben Avraham. He had a yichus that he was the son of Avraham, and he was Yerush from his father. But Yitzchak had his own avodah as well. He forged his own path in avodah of Hashem Yitzchak. It's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, same with Yaakov. So it's a bit like that with Rebbe Avraham ben Rambam. He's known as the son of the Rambam, and certainly he spent a lot of time explaining to Klal Yisrael the words of his father. But Rebbe Avraham ben Rambam was a godin in his own right. One of the songs he wrote was a sefer called Maspik Lo Yivdei Hashem, and in it he's got a peirik, a very long peirik, it's almost a sefer in itself, on the inyan of bitachon. And really, we have to investigate the inyan of bitachon a bit to be able to understand how to balance our time. So again, even in this, we're very limited, but let's just pick and choose a couple of things from what he says. He splits people into three categories regarding bitachon. So one of the ways he splits up bitachon, he does it in many ways, but one of the ways is he splits people into three groups. And he says, the first group, the first category, is a category of the Nevi'im, or the Balei Ruach HaKodesh, or someone who has tremendous siyata dishmaya and clear siyata dishmaya in a gewissa oifen, in a specific form, or regarding a specific matter. And these people, what's expected of them, how they're meant to live, is on a specific level of bitachon. That is, that he ignores, such a person ignores nature basically, ignores the normal way of doing things totally, and sees himself completely and utterly in the hands of Hashem Yisbarach. What Hashem Yisbarach will do, what Hashem Yisbarach wants from him, that's what will happen. Everything else is completely irrelevant. He doesn't need any medium at all. The medium of nature, work, etc., these things doesn't need at all. The classic example of that, says the Avraham ben Rambam, this is interesting, he says, Yaakov Avinu says, Ki b'makli ovarti es hayadein hazeh. Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam understands this as a deliberate move, a deliberate decision by Yaakov Avinu. He had to go into Golos, that was his destiny, to go into Golos in Aram. His father and his mother sent him, who were both Nevi'im, they sent him. And this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from him. He's masked himself, he absolutely deposited himself totally within the control and reshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He left everything behind. He didn't take anything with him. Because as far as he was concerned, that would be a chisaron in his bitachon. What's he taking? Things he's taking money with, so have what to pay. He doesn't need this. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to go. The Ribbono Shel Olam will look after him. He needs nothing else at all. Another example of this, which he brings down briefly, but I think it's worth discussing in a little bit more detail. Yonason ben Shaul. It's a famous story in Shmuel where the Plishtim had gathered an enormous army, and Shaul was left with a rapidly decreasing army. It wasn't too big to start with. They didn't have forces. They didn't have armed forces, Klal Yisrael. They didn't have a standing army in any way until after Shaul made a little bit of an army. They didn't really have an army at all. So they had 600 men with them. And if you think 600 men, well, okay, something. Yes, they were facing tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of cracked troops, but maybe it's got something. Of those 600 men, 598 did not have arms. That's what the Pasuk says. They didn't have arms. Because the Plishtim controlled Eretz Yisrael, the total control of Eretz Yisrael, and they banned any Jewish blacksmith so that they would not be able to make arms. And if they wanted to have a plow fixed, they would have to come to the Plishtim, to a Plishtim blacksmith to have it fixed. There were only two people in the entire army who had arms. One was called Shaul, and the other one was his son, Yonason. So Yonason says to his Moshe Kenim, they're in a bit of a mess, you know, surrounded on all sides, waiting to be attacked. He says, listen, I don't know what we're waiting for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not limited in any way. Let's go up to the Plishtim. So, to cut it short, they climb up on hands and feet, as the Pasuk says. Literally, hands and feet. Yonason and his weapons bearer, they climb up at the top of the cliff, waiting for them, watching them come up, and waiting for them is a troop of the Plishtim. They come up, Yonason takes his sword, he kills all those who are around him, the rest of the army panic. They take flight. They run in all directions. Then the rest of the Yidden join in, they fight them, there's a tremendous victory. To cut it short, that's Jensen. Jensen, who lives at a level where he understands absolutely and totally that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited. And therefore, there is no difference whether he goes on his own and climbs a straight cliff face with an army standing at the top waiting for him, or whether they go with a couple of 100,000 crack troops, it makes no difference. That's Jensen. That's Yaakov Vinu, that's Jensen. That's not the average person. An average person has to be careful, says Rabbi Avraham ben Aramam, that he doesn't make a mistake and think that he's Jensen or Yaakov Vinu. Because if he does, it can come to grief. He says not only that, his lashon is that he's a chayter, and the end will be chilul Hashem. And he brings a clear proof for it. He says like this: when the Meraglim came back, Klal Yisrael heard what they said, and they lost their nerve. They panicked. They said, "How can we face forces of such magnitude and such incredible strength, 45 towns, etc.? There's no way." So they panicked. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, "Uvadava hazeh inchem aminim b'Hashem." You didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was carried out clear, open, listen for you. You didn't believe him. You didn't believe in him. You didn't have enough bitachon in this case. We'll discuss the difference between emunah and bitachon now. But you didn't have sufficient bitachon. And you should have had bitachon. It should have made no difference to you what the forces opposing you were like. Because you'd seen open nisim all the way through the midbar. So you were like Jonathan, who understood that one man can take on an entire army if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to. What happened after that? They were told, "You're not allowed to go in." Okay, you can't go in now. What did they say? "Yes, we're going in. We want to go in." Vatozidu vatalu ha'har. Vatozidu, you have to deliberately vatalu ha'har. Vatozidu, says the Rabbi Avraham ben Aramam, you acted with chutzpah. Vatalu ha'har. And what happened? They were defeated, which was a terrible chilul Hashem. Why? Because, says Maspik Loivdei Hashem, you were no longer on the level which would allow that. Prior to the chet of believing the Meraglim, of losing their nerve, they lived at that top level of bitachon. But after having lost their nerve, and after having said they won't go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed that level of hashkocha from them. They no longer can live in that type of way. To pretend you're still what you no longer are is very dangerous. And in this case, it was a chet, and it caused a chilul Hashem. So that's something that we have to bear in mind. Second category is exactly the opposite. The second category is the category of the koifrim and apikorsim. Koifrim and apikorsim, whichever way, in the time of Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, it was more a case of where they believed that there was a God, but that God has nothing to do with this world. He's divorced from this world, and you're on your own in this world. Or whether it's a modern form of that, which is Olam Kadmon, in the world exists, it came into existence on its own, and who knows what happened before, maybe it existed and then it didn't exist and then existed, whatever, the same type of idea. And there is no God at all, and all they believe in is the power of science and what the human endeavor can achieve. That's obviously that's crazy by Tamyodi. That's by dint of my own efforts, I've achieved whatever I've achieved. Michtam Elio uses, he says, nowadays there's another phrase that people use, and maybe this introduces a new aspect to this. He says, we left nothing to chance. You heard that phrase before, I'm sure we've all heard that phrase before. You often hear it in terms of organizations, maybe governments, etc., leaving nothing to chance. Individuals also believe that they've got everything, every angle tied up, left nothing to chance. It says that's
that is in this second category. That's begeder the koifrim and the apikosim. Koifrim and apikosim might do it openly, but we actually have to be very, very careful that at a subconscious level we're not doing the same thing. Because they don't believe in bitachon. They don't have bitachon in Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't control things, they control it. Therefore, they've got... There is such a thing as ishtatlus, of course, such a thing as ishtatlus. But in terms of, shall we say, in terms of medical, they've got the best doctors, and they're so good, but they actually believe, they think, they believe, they're so good, these doctors, that they actually control the situation. Or they've got the best financial advisors, and it's bound to work. Nothing's bound to work. No one controls the situation except the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the second category. The second category believe that they can take the Ribbono Shel Olam out of the cheshbon. And then there's the third category, and it's this third category in which we, as Shomrei Torah, mitzvahs fall according to Rav Avraham ben Rambam. In fact, the way he puts it is the bitachon, which is mutal al kol shomrei hadas. We've got to believe as follows. Yes, the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world and created it that it works through certain rules and laws, so to speak. There's a medium via which we achieve and we receive what we need. So therefore, it might be, talking in terms of health, that people train as doctors, they understand a little bit about the human body, you go to them, they've got certain medicines which can help, etc. You want to earn a panosa, you have to find a job which will supply you with your needs, and you have to do a certain amount of work in it, etc. But we have to understand and believe deep down at all times that's simply ishtadlus. Why we have to make ishtadlus in this world is an entire discussion in itself. It's a very, very interesting how this is explained by the Balei Hashkafa and the Balei Musar. But that's simply ishtadlus. It doesn't actually determine what will happen. And as we go through life and build that experience and we see events which take place, it becomes clear that it doesn't determine what happens. Because you have maybe two people who let's say enter business, and they're doing the same type of thing, and one is matzliach lemalam derech hateva. You say malam derech hateva, you have to think what it means. It means out of the ordinary way of things, extraordinarily matzliach. How is he matzliach so well? Sometimes, unfortunately, the person himself seems to believe that it's because he's so clever, etc. It's not because he's so clever, because his friends remember him from school, and he's not that clever, and yet he's fantastically matzliach. Why is he fantastically matzliach? Because Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to be matzliach. The other person, doing the same thing, just doesn't work. They both do a deal, this one deal works beautifully, and that one doesn't. Two people, they've got the same type of illness. They go to the same doctor, they receive the same treatment, and one, it's fantastic, it's wonderful. In a couple of weeks, he's so much better. The other one just doesn't care anywhere. Just downhill all the way. Why? That's because although HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a normal order of things into the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls it all, at all times. And the Ribbono Shel Olam decides that it's going to work, it'll work. And if he decides it's not going to work, it won't work. And it's as simple as that. And that's what we have to bear in mind all the time. It's easy to say, it's not always as easy to do. But if we do bear it in mind at all times, then it actually impacts upon the way we lead our lives. Because if you're going to believe genuinely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls our lives, we have to make our ishtadlus. Why we have to make our ishtadlus? Okay, let's actually mention that now. Michtav Meliyahu brings down from Rizundel Misalant. So Rizundel Misalant said, for me, it's sufficient to buy a lottery ticket. That's all the ishtadlus needs to make. That's all the ishtadlus needs to make. Buy a lottery ticket. Why can't we all then just go and buy a lottery ticket? That's all the ishtadlus needs to make. It's very interesting. This already moves towards maybe not quite there, but towards that first category of people. And Mr. Molyneux's line is very similar to Rambin Rambam's. He says, because what happens if you don't win? Rav Zunzun Mislant will have said, Rabbi Shem didn't want me to win. I don't, if he didn't want me to meet, I don't need that money now. I don't need that as my tools in that Avodah Hashem before. When I need it, he'll provide me with it. I've got to make my shtablus, of course. So I buy a ticket. And when it's time for me to win, I win. And if I don't win, I don't win. That's what Rabbi Shem wants. If an average person says, I'm a great Avodah Hashem, I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will supply me with everything I need, all I need to do is buy the lottery ticket, and he doesn't win, there's somebody to turn around and say, hey, what happened? I'm such a Baal B'tochen. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it me? That's the danger of the Choytem Chil Hashem, where he's suddenly Toya Alev Yishoymus. So we have to do our status, and as I said, every single person, depending on his level, on his madrigan, he's got to think very carefully about it, and maybe take advice as well, and every single generation at their level. But one thing is clear. If a person genuinely believes in the Rebbein Shalom, he does what he can, he does what is necessary for him to do, and then he leaves it. If a person can't sleep at night because he's worrying about all the things in his life which he still has to deal with, which unfortunately happens to many of us at times, it's a chisoni bitochen. Because you're in bed now, you've done what you can, now you have to go to sleep. So all the hishtablus that you could possibly have to make, you've done. It's not up to you what actually happens. No, on Shabbos, it says, it should be for you, says Rashi, as if when Shabbos comes in, all your melacha is done. All your melacha is done. Why? Because Rav Shem said, today you don't work. So that means your hishtablus has come to an end when Shabbos begins. So switch off from it. Every night when a person goes to sleep, he should switch off from it. That's those who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech said, they sleep at night. A person will limit how much he works. Because if a person genuinely is a Baal B'tochen, he realizes, as being in this third category, he does have to make his shtablus. But who says he has to work 12 hours a day, 15 hours a day? And why does he work 10 hours a day? Is that not called his shtablus? The greater the level of bitachon, the more the person will be able to actually reduce the amount he works. And the truth of the matter is, it's a straight equation, because if he's a genuine Baal B'tochen within a certain category, not making the mistake of thinking we're not what we are, and it turns around and says, I'm going to cut down by an hour, so that opens up the space for the Siyata Dishmaya, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplements that. So it's a question of how much do you want to do, how much do you want Rav Shem to do for you, so to speak. How much do you feel that you need to make Ishtadlus? However much you feel you need to make Ishtadlus, that's really what you need to do. If you feel less because you build up your level of Bitochen, then enough money you can reduce it. Just want to move on, therefore, very quickly to what the Mechtav Meiriol says. He gives a few eitzos on how we can achieve this. First thing he says is, if a person would limit their desires and what they expect to achieve and to attain in terms of, should we say, the Olam HaGashmi, then they'll be less disappointed. Because what happens is, if a person has bitachon that they're going to be a multimillionaire, if they've got bitachon and Rav Shem they're going to be a multimillionaire, maybe they're not meant to be a multimillionaire. The average person isn't necessarily meant to be a multimillionaire. That's not the way Rav Shem wants the world to work. But in our generation, for instance, Rav Shem has put it into the world that the average person has what they need to live off. If a person is only looking, that's all he wants, really, in terms of gashmis, enough for his family, enough for him to live off, that makes the bitachon a much easier subject. Why? Because he's very likely to receive from the Rebbein Shalom what he's looking for. Then he sees, you see, I got it. The Rebbein Shalom supplied it to me. But if he's got creating Musafim, he thinks that he's meant to be a multimillionaire. Why? If it's because he's a massive, mathematician. He's constantly got people in his house. That's a different subject. But if it's simply because, well, other people are, why shouldn't I be? I've got Bitochen. He might be very severely disappointed. Second thing is, you've actually got to think about Bitochen. Bitochen is something which you've actually got to concentrate on. You've got to think about what it means to be about Bitochen, and to work on it, maybe to read a little bit of what the Balin Mutter writes on it, the Balei Hashkafa write on it. Another point he says is that you've got to be memayit in your melacha. Having memayit basic, that's it, that's all. That's another way of becoming about Bitochen. If a person takes a conscious decision, I'm taking off a half an hour from work and I'm going to use that to sit and learn. I'm going to increase my learning by half an hour and I'm going to cut it out from my work. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will sort out my, I'm not going to end up penniless just because I've cut half an hour of my work. That's already moving himself up in levels of Bitochen. Another point is, and this is a very, very interesting point, and this goes into already the discussion on why we have to make a hishtablus, and that is that things which a person has to do in life, which are the pesisus, so from the lower part of a person, that's a person who does in secret. That person's embarrassed about, they do it in private. Person should really better to understand that the more he works, the more it's a pizza in the Benjamin's pocket. Because he's saying, I need to make his status. The more status he thinks he needs to make, that means less Bitochen than the Benjamin. So he should be embarrassed about it. Things you're embarrassed about, you do in secret, in a snuadical oifen. And automatically you're going to do a bit less of it as well. You're not crowing about the fact that you put in a 55-hour week for the last 3 weeks running. You've been to 15 different countries. You've not stopped working. You know, you work until Shabbat and immediately after Shabbat. It's not something to be proud about. It's not something we're proud about. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. A little bit of embarrassment when you realise that really you're running up against Bitochen. And the last point is, which we've already discussed a bit, that should be our approach to melacha. Yes, it might have to be done. It's in terms of ishtablus, but thank you.